This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business with Sfiso's Kanjana. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
It is 48 minutes after 6 o'clock, Power Listener, and of course, yeah, we're getting into another conversation. It is around PwC South Africa's economic report, and yeah, we're going to see again, you know, how they're studying our economy at this point in time, and where they're seeing opportunities and some pressure points as well. And as I said in my opening, Power Listener, is that, yeah, that elective conference is certainly going to be an interesting one, primarily around investor sentiment, And generally, I think just how, you know, investors are going to price in our yields, etc. as well, country risk premiums and all of those things. And so it's certainly an interesting one there, but we're going to get into some of the detail, you know, around the latest PwC report. And so we are joined online, Power Listener, by Dr. Christie Viljoen, who is an economist at PwC. Dr. Christie, how are you?
Good evening. I'm fine. And you?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Yeah, maybe let's just get into the high level, I guess, reading of the latest iteration of your economic outlook report.
Well, the focus of this edition was on skills. And I mean, when we talk about skills, we think about employment, we think about unemployment, we think about all the social risks associated with that. The angle that we took is something that, I mean, it's not new for most South Africans to understand. We have a skills challenge in our country. We have too many people that do not have lots of skills that would attract foreign investment, that would get them a very well-paying job in the private sector. It is a challenge that we have as a country for many reasons, historical and current reasons. And that was our focus this time around, because we still have the highest unemployment rate in the world after what happened with COVID-19. And our employment is still not back to where it was before the pandemic.
You know, one of the things, Christy, that I often feel pertaining to the unemployment pandemic is I'm not entirely convinced that we've gotten a handle on the true drivers of the problem and the true things that are the things that, you know, have put us into this kind of unemployment trap. And the reason I call it an unemployment trap is because I feel like the economy creates jobs for the labor force it wishes it had and not for the labor force it currently has. And so where then we are seeing sector growth, sector development is also, you know, disillusioned to the current skills profile. From a PwC point of view, where do you see one kind of the big drivers of the skills trap that we're in, and maybe some innovative thinking around how we could get out of it?
So the challenge that we have, you're quite correct. We are focusing as a country on industrial policies, fourth industrial revolution, those big ideas of growing the services sector as a way of even exporting services. And those are all great ideas, but most of the people in our country don't have the qualifications to work in that space. So it's that distinction between having lots of people and maybe not having the right people for what we are aiming for. So we have to take care of the people that that need a job, that are probably looking for training opportunities, whether it's high school or tertiary or TVET college, whichever it might be. We need to make sure that the skills that they learn in those areas are actually matching up what our labor market needs. Now, we know that recently update critical skills list was published, and we see there's a long, long list of skills and occupations where we have a shortage of people. And that's one of the things that we can look at as a country as a way of improving this labor market situation, thinking about how we can make sure that we get more people trained in those specific areas. And it's not an easy answer. I mean, if we think maybe we need lots more engineers, if we think about the electricity situation, that means that we have to make sure that when people finish high school, they have a certain aptitude when it comes to mathematics and science, etc. So You're quite correct. Grasping this whole picture is difficult because there are so many different parts to it. And I guess that's part of the challenge about fixing this employment situation. There are just so many different parts to it that you almost need to be able to throw them into one box and understand them completely. But when they're all in that one box together, it's like a puzzle that's not been built yet. And that's a challenge for us to understand all of those components.
Mm. And I mean, I thought, you know, I'm always quite cautious when we do like cross-country comparisons because sometimes it's not apples for apples. But I think particularly an interesting one that where I think structurally they had similar challenges at the time was Germany in the 60s and closer to the 70s as well, when they had almost a similar issue than we have right now. And this is how then they started deeply investing in their TVET college structures and ensuring that, and I mean, one of the things they did quite well is moving the, I guess, aligning the economic cluster with the education cluster. Because, and I mean, and for me, it's almost a no-brainer. If we are saying that next year we're going to put 5 billion rand on infrastructure, that's got to align with where we're going to fund from an education point of view. And so who are the people who go into any kind of infrastructure projects, engineers, et cetera, quantity surveyors, et cetera. So I feel like maybe we are missing an opportunity as a country to put education in our economic cluster, and so that when we do our economic planning, we do it parallel to our education planning. And I think that's one of the things. The second one, what was quite interesting from the UK, from Germany, is how then they aligned curriculum design with corporate. And so there's, a coalition of big corporates coming in and helping with the curriculum design. And that for me solves for the demand side of it, where then these are the skills they know they're going to demand in the next 5 years. And so the absorption rate of these people in Germany is north of 66% of people coming through the TVET structure. Is there something similar as a country we could be getting into that certainly can start to solve the structural trap I think that we've got?
I think your suggestions, they are very interesting. So the idea of aligning it broadly, aligning education plans with economic plans, makes a lot of sense. You don't even have to go to look at another country at another time to really understand that makes a very, very much sense. Because if we align education planning with economic planning and we say in 20 years we want to have 1 million more people working in factories, or we want 1 million more people to work in construction, then those kind of alignment decisions, it would be exactly what we need. If we think of our universities and our colleges, they do have interaction with the private sector, with corporates, to understand what they need. And it does have an influence on the curriculum. Mm. But there's always more that could be done. And yes, you can go look abroad. I mean, every country has an education system, and there are some excellent education systems around the world where we can learn more. So it is a challenge to fix our local challenge, but there are international opportunities to learn. It means that we need to be open-minded as business people. We need to be open-minded as educators, as government, as policymakers. All stakeholders have a role to play in this education improvement. All stakeholders have a role to play in upskilling our country, if we can put it that way, because we are competing against many other countries, many other emerging markets for foreign investment. You want to pull money in from abroad, let them build factories and all kinds of facilities that create jobs. And for that, you need to be able to give investors this confidence that we've got the people that you need. And if from a policy perspective, if from an economic and education planning perspective, we have that in line, it sends out a very good message to them.
And I mean, I think one of the things that came out of your report here, which was quite interesting, and you know, it reminded me of a report I did about 2 years ago, was talking about the vulnerability exposure of lowly skilled people. And I think for me, the way we do our labor segmentation in the country does not help us get into a position where we could have interventions that matter. Primarily because we segment our labor by sector and not by skills and skills vulnerability. Because I think once we start to see just how much of our labor force is actually at a particular level of vulnerability, and then your interventions aren't only going to get stuck at a sectoral level, are going to be actually around then future-proofing these labor participants from the vulnerability that they have. And so we need to get to a point of having a vulnerability index for labor clusters in South Africa so that we actually do target the ones who are most vulnerable with the, I guess, most useful interventions as well?
Well, the most vulnerable in the most recent pandemic were definitely unskilled people. Mm. And it's not difficult to understand because we know so many restaurants have closed. There's jobs anymore. Hotels that are way below capacity because tourism hasn't recovered. And the people that work in cleaning and reception, etc. So those are the jobs that have been most vulnerable, where lots of jobs were lost. And as the country is recovering, as the economy and employment is recovering, those are the jobs that are lagging behind. Now, already before COVID, these people were earning minimum wage. We've got a national minimum wage. It's not something that you can put a lot of savings away. It's not something that you can build up wealth from. So already the most vulnerable for losing jobs were the most vulnerable from a financial perspective as well. And that's where the concern is, where these people had jobs. Because of the pandemic and the lockdown and those elements, they don't have jobs anymore. And the prospect of then finding another job is very low. And it almost becomes a bit of a desperate situation when we do measurements of unemployment. There's that component of discouraged workers, where someone would be giving up on being able to get a job. And that's a terrible situation. And that's something that you want to obviously try and avoid as a country, where you've got people that basically give up on being able to find a job. It's not something that's really going to build our country if we have more and more of those people, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah, certainly. I think going to be a tough outlook from a labor point of view in South Africa. Dr. Christie, thank you very much and wishing you a lovely evening further.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Our listener, that was Dr. Christie Viljoen, who is an economist at PwC, just helping us reflect on, their latest report, which, double-clicked on unemployment and skills as an area of interest. Yeah, and I mean, you know, as I said, is that there are lots parts of that, of the ship that we need to understand when it comes to the labor complex in South Africa, and really around. I mean, if 76% of your labor force is either semi-skilled or unskilled, your skills intervention programs have got to respond to that. If 91% of those who are currently unemployed have a matric or less, your interventions around school completion and all of those things have got to be fit for purpose. And so I really do feel like our interventions haven't been targeted. They haven't been fit for purpose because they haven't just understood the problem. We have knee-jerk reactions to these things, and we throw EPWP programs, we throw teacher assistant programs overnight. And then when these quarterly employment statistics come out, you see big drops when these programs are not. People aren't doing census anymore, so they're back home chilling. You know, it's really, really not a sustainable model that we can do and use to try really keep people gainfully employed. And I really, really get frustrated just at the extent to which we haven't cared enough to truly unpack and understand the true plight of those who are unable to get jobs at this point in time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.